Sophie is invented. What Sophie describes is not. It is happening across West Midlands right now. This is their story. In one of the worst-off constituencies in England, NHS wards run short-staffed while nursing training places sit empty and qualified applicants are turned away. The mismatch between healthcare needs and workforce planning creates a cycle where agency staff fill gaps at triple the cost while permanent training budgets are capped. Sophie's voice carries the frustration of watching resources exist but remain unconnected.
My mum came home from New Cross Hospital every night talking about the same thing. Not enough nurses, everyone working doubles, patients waiting longer than they should. She'd been a healthcare assistant there for 15 years, and I watched her get more tired as the years went on. When I was 16, sitting in our kitchen in Wensfield while she soaked her feet after a 12-hour shift, I decided I wanted to become a nurse. Not because I had some grand calling, but because I could see exactly what the problem was and I wanted to be part of fixing it. I worked hard through my A-levels at Wolverhampton College, got the grades I needed, and saved money for a year working in a local care home. The residents there reminded me why I was doing this. Every day I saw people who needed skilled care, and every day I felt more certain that nursing was where I belonged. When 2022 came around, I applied to the University of Wolverhampton. I lived 20 minutes away, the course looked excellent, and my grades exceeded their entry requirements. The admissions office called me in March. The woman on the phone was kind but firm. "Sophie, your application is strong, but there are no funded places available this year. The government has capped our training numbers and we simply don't have the budget for more students." I asked what that meant exactly. She explained that Health Education England sets limits on how many nursing students they can take, and those limits were based on funding allocations from NHS England. The money for training places had been restricted. I hung up and immediately applied to Staffordshire University. Different institution, different admissions team, same conversation. "We'd love to have you, but our funded places are full. The budget has been cut and we cannot afford to run that programme at the scale we'd like." Birmingham City University told me something similar when I called them in April. Each time it was the funding. Each time it sounded reasonable. Everyone accepted it, including me. I took a job as a healthcare assistant at Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust, thinking I'd reapply the following year. The work was exactly what I expected, demanding, meaningful, and constantly understaffed. Our ward relied heavily on agency nurses who came and went on short-term contracts. I learnt that agency staff cost the trust three times what permanent staff nurses cost, but they were necessary because the ward couldn't recruit enough qualified nurses to fill the rota. In 2023, I was chatting with our ward manager about my nursing applications and mentioned the funding restrictions I'd encountered. She looked at me strangely. "That's odd," she said. "Health Education England actually reduced our funded nursing places for West Midlands this year, despite our vacancy rates going up." She showed me the internal communications. The training allocation had been cut by 8% even though trusts across the region were advertising unfilled nursing positions. I started asking more questions. "If there was such a shortage of nurses that we needed agency staff at triple the cost, and if there were people like me who wanted to train as nurses but couldn't get funded places, what exactly was the funding supposed to be funding?" The next week, I walked over to the University of Wolverhampton's nursing department during my day off. What I saw there changed everything. Entire lecture halls sat empty during what should have been peak teaching hours. The clinical skills suite, equipped with thousands of pounds of medical training equipment, electronic patient simulators, IV training arms, medication dispensing units, was locked and unused most days of the week. I spoke to a lecturer who was leaving the building. She told me they had the capacity to train twice as many nursing students as they currently had, but the funded places simply weren't there. I stood in that empty corridor and tried to understand what I was looking at. The people who wanted to become nurses existed. I was one of them. The university existed, with qualified lecturers and sophisticated training equipment. The NHS trusts existed. desperately short of staff and paying premium rates for temporary solutions. The patients existed, waiting longer for care because wards were understaffed. Everything needed for training more nurses was physically present. So what was this budget that everyone kept mentioning? What was this funding that capped the training places? I started to realise that when people said there is no funding, they meant the government had chosen not to spend money connecting the things that already existed. The government that prints pound notes and mints coins was telling universities it could not find enough of those pounds to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. I could see the empty lecture halls. I knew dozens of people from college who wanted to train as nurses but couldn't get places. I worked on wards that were crying out for permanent staff. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It was the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still working as a healthcare assistant, still watching agency nurses come and go at triple the cost while training places sit empty. But I understand now that this is not just my story or even just a healthcare story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never the constraint. The constraint was the decision not to open it.
What Sophie experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique relies on citing economists or commentators who treat household budget logic as self-evident, as though repeating the analogy makes it true. The tobacco industry used fake experts for decades, funding studies that questioned the link between smoking and cancer, while genuine medical research proved the opposite. The technique works by creating the impression that controversial claims have scientific backing. In Sophie's story, the fake expert claim was economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. Every time Sophie was told there is no funding, someone was treating the UK government like a household that must save before it spends. But the government issues the pound. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them into nurse training. The real constraint is resources, qualified lecturers, training equipment, hospital placements. And as Sophie discovered, those resources were sitting idle while officials cited budget caps that made no fiscal sense. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Wolverhampton, North East, ranks 71 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 2. The constituency has 1,223 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register. Grant funding totals £22.4 million per 360, giving Grant Nav data. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics produced by Blocked Britain.